I'm not quite sure where Mel Gibson is getting the definition of apocalypto, but I do know that apocalypse means that which is hidden. And what we see here in Luke today is a form of apocalyptic. It's a hidden teaching that comes underneath. This is Luke's version of what we read several weeks ago in Mark. Let us be attentive now to hear what the meaning of this text is as we read from Luke, the 21st chapter, and the 25th through the 36th verses. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. May we be blessed in the hearing of good news. Black Friday was well over a week ago, so I suppose that we're fully into the only so many shopping days left before Christmas mode. The great flurry of activity has started, and we're trying to figure out just what to get whom. And in the midst of it all, sometimes arranged for rock or even hip-hop, we hear, "You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town." Well, we hear about a coming to town from the prophet Jeremiah and Luke the evangelist that was also set in what we heard from the choir and will sing at the close of the Sarah of our service today. Those wonderful words from the Liturgy of St. James, which is their equivalent of the cherubic hymn of the Eastern Liturgy, telling us about the coming to town of our Lord. They're telling us to watch out, not for Santa Claus, but for the signs of the times that point to God's kingdom coming among us. I've been watching out, and what have I seen? Well, I see signs of the times in which we live. Christmas decorations that went up shortly after, if not concurrent with, Halloween. And Christmas music that started on store incomes and intercoms and certain radio stations even prior to Thanksgiving. These are what I would call signs of the commercial times. And there are other signs that we ought to watch out, too. Reports of increased violent crime on the streets of Milwaukee. Even vandalism done to no skateboarding and stop signs here at First Church. It was kind of strange to open the Wauwatosa News Times and go to the crime page and see our church. Bothered me. And then, of course, the watch out that we have to think about every time we go to the airport. And then there are the global reports, including the reports from Rick Cook in Afghanistan, which give us pause and make us wonder what sort of world in which we live. In the midst of all these signs, we're told to stand up, raise up our heads, because redemption, salvation, is near. It makes one wonder, because where is redemption to be found shopping unless you've got a coupon or a gift card? Where is redemption to be found in all of the troubles that we see close to home and across the world. Still, there's that command, watch. Lift up your heads. And watch we should, because one greater than Santa Claus is coming to town and will miss his arrival if we're not fully aware. Advent, you see, is the church's New Year's celebration. It focuses on beginnings, but to have a beginning implies that there's been an end. The prophet Jeremiah was looking to the end of Israel's exile in Babylon. Luke recalled Jesus' words about the ending of the world, which would mark the beginning of the new kingdom of God. Both of them reflect the longing, the hoping for something that has almost been extinguished. Yet lingering there is the voice of promise. Hang on. Keep watching. Something better is to come. Most of human life is that way, isn't it? Part of being human seems to be always looking forward to the beginning of something. The beginning can be just about anything. We can look forward to the birth of a child. We can look forward to the beginning of the school year. At least parents can. And we can look forward to the beginning of a new job or a marriage or retirement. And some even look forward to death. We look forward to these new things, these new beginnings, because they hold out the hope that the new will be in some way better than the old. Those who had heard Jesus speak of God's new kingdom were waiting for the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars, which would herald the kingdom's arrival. Christians have been looking for that coming for years. We talked about it before when I told you about the millenarian movements in American religious history several weeks ago. The question for them and for us is, how can we be affirmed in the promise if we never experience the fulfillment? Well, let me reintroduce you to a term that we've talked about here before, eschatological tension. Say it with me, please. It's your theological word for the week. You can drop this at one of the many Christmas parties coming up and people will think you wonderfully learned. Eschatological tension. See, you've got it. No, you don't get a diploma. This is the tension between what is already present and what is yet to come. And when Christians forget that it exists, they end up living toward the one and forgetting the other. They become, to use the old term, so heavenly minded that they become no earthly good. This is why celebrating Advent with all of its notes of longing and waiting and even minor key music is so important. The tension of the Advent season is the affirming of the already but not yet of God's presence and God's promise among us. That we can experience the longing, that we can experience that there is more in us and more to us that is waiting for fulfillment is itself God's gift of presence. I see this tension between the already and the not yet summed up so beautifully in the writings of the English poet and mystic George Herbert. He wrote these wonderful lines in his poem, The Pulley. When God at first made man, having a glass of blessings standing by, let us, said he, pour on him all we can. Let the world's riches which dispersed lie contract into a span. So strength first made a way, then beauty flowed, then wisdom, honor, pleasure. When almost all was out, God made a stay, perceiving that alone in all his treasure rest in the bottom lay. For if I should, said he, bestow this jewel also on my creature, he would adore my gifts instead of me, and rest in nature, not the God of nature. So both should losers be. Yet let him keep the rest, but keep them with repining restlessness. Let him be rich and weary, that at least, if goodness lead him not, yet weariness may toss him to my breast. We long for God. We seek to be affirmed in the promise because God longs for us. And God longs to give God's self to us. God's glory is not isolation, but self-giving love. And so God creates within us the capacity to receive and to know the divine presence. There is more to us. There is more to you and more to me than meets the eye. And we chafe and we long for the fulfillment and the satisfaction which comes only from understanding what Augustine confessed breathlessly. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O God. Jesus then says that we are to be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't try to anesthetize yourself from what's going on in the world. See it, realize it, live toward it, and understand that it is part of the longing, the watching out, that is part of what it means to be truly human. And here he shows us what this Advent season, which I like to say is the season of affirmation, is really about. Because God is affirming, God is making new beginnings for God's creation and for us each day. Perhaps the best way for us to be alert, to be watchful, to be ready in this season of expectant waiting is to apply those warnings to the way we live. We should be on guard for how we hurt each other, for how we treat each other, instead of affirming each other. As we wait for the coming of the Prince of Peace, perhaps we should work on bringing peace to the everyday workings of our world. And I want to sum up with two little stories that I think make more sense than I ever could. First, well, this one was written by Gates Vrooman, a Methodist minister. A couple moved into a small town in Massachusetts. Norma, who was new in the community, grumbled to a neighbor about the poor service she received at the library. It hadn't been that way in her old town. She hoped her neighbor friend would repeat her complaint to the librarian. The next time Norma entered the librarian was indeed all smiles and extremely helpful. Norma reported the miraculous change to her neighbor. "I suppose you told her how poor we thought the service was." "No," confessed her friend. "I hope you don't mind, but I told her that you were amazed at the way she had built up this small town library and that you thought she showed good taste in the new books she ordered." Love and affirmation works, not the cheap, shoddy combination of sentimentality and lust that the world calls love, but the spirit of goodwill and faith, which we normally characterize as the Christmas spirit. And now, one from William White. A farmer was working in his field when a stranger approached him. The traveler asked, "What kind of people live in the next town?" Without pausing from his work, the farmer replied, "What kind of people lived in the town you just left?" "They were horrible," the traveler said, waving his hand for emphasis. "People were dishonest. They were selfish, nasty, inconsiderate people. Hated them." Looking up, the farmer shook his head and said, "Well, I'm sorry to say that's probably what you'll find in this town, too." The stranger moaned and walked away. Later in the same day, another man happened down the same road. When he saw the farmer, he called out, "What kind of people live in this town?" Without looking up, the farmer returned with a question. "What kind of people lived in the town you just left?" "They were wonderful, thoughtful, friendly, and kind," the traveler beamed. "I hated to leave them." Farmer put down his hoe, extended his hand, and said, "I'm pleased to say that's about how you'll find most folks here." Traveler returned the smile, shook the farmer's hand, and headed toward his new home. Advent is the season of new beginnings. Advent is the season of affirmation of the eschatological and creative tension in which you and I, in which we live. The already, but the not yet of God's reign. God again and again affirms the love, the confidence, the belief that God has in us. Remember, it's not just us who believe in God. God believes in us. If you wonder then why I like communion so much, it's because the sacrament that we celebrate today is a continual reminder of God's affirmation and faithfulness It is a sign of God's desire to nurture us, and that we in turn are to nurture each other. So each time we gather to break open the word, to break the bread, to share the cup, we are once again brought into God's presence, and we are reminded to rest in God, and that God is present in us and with us. The sacrament also reminds us of the service of affirmation that we are to bring to each other in the community of faith and to all the world around us. God has done something for us, my friends. God has taken a risk for us. And now we're supposed to go and do the same. If we go expecting new beginnings, if we go looking for the best that there is in every person we meet, we may find our waiting, our longing fulfilled in ways we never even dreamed possible. So you better watch out. We better watch out. Our redemption is near. If only we look. If only we look. Amen.